IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's your morning mayhem. My name is Chad Thomas in for Howard Feldman. Now for our very important conversation with Prof. Barry Shoup, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID vaccines. Today we're going to find out from Professor Shoup how effective is the vaccine booster shot on the Omicron variant. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chad.
Professor, thank you for taking time out of a very busy week. And of course, it's a public holiday. You should be resting, but we do appreciate you coming in and being able to give us this update on the efficacy of the vaccine booster shots.
Great pleasure.
So let's go straight in.
Yeah, sure. In fact, we've actually had the opportunity in South Africa to give actually the first results on what we call vaccine effectiveness. In other words, how effective the vaccine is behaving in the field out there, as against, you know, doing the, test in the laboratory. Because the tests in the laboratory were a little bit disappointing. They showed, in fact, that there was quite significant what we call vaccine escape. In other words, that people that, they took blood from individuals and they looked for neutralizing antibodies, there was quite a marked reduction in the ability of those neutralizing antibodies to neutralize this Omicron variant. But, Discovery published quite recently, in fact, a few days ago, actually, their results on the vaccine effectiveness. In fact, they showed quite promising results, particularly as the performance of the vaccine preventing severe disease. And their results showed that over 70% protection against severe disease, which is very good news. Somewhat less, and not unexpectedly, prevention against infection or mild disease, that went down to about 33%. But that's not, it's even better than what we thought from what we found in the laboratory studies. So overall, it is quite good news that the vaccine certainly does work. It does prevent severe disease pretty effectively, and that's good news.
The first people that signed up for the Sisonke trials, I believe their booster shots are ready. Some have already had them.
Yeah. Yes. They were people that right in the beginning from February till about middle of May or towards the end of May, got their first shot of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And they've now been, in fact, gosh, I think it's a few hundred thousand now, have had their second shot of Johnson & Johnson. We think that maybe it may well be a two-dose vaccine. I think in time the others will also need to get their second dose, probably early in the new year. We'd like to have a period of about at least 6 months between, because that's when you get very good, or we get optimal immune stimulation and immune protection, to have a wider interval between the first and the second dose. So they probably from early next year will be getting their second dose of Johnson & Johnson.
And in respect of the third Pfizer and Pfizer rollout in January, are they going to be doing what they did previously, where they're going to start with vulnerable and then age categories, or is it going to be open to all during the month of January?
Well, it'll actually serve both purposes, because again, we'd like that 6 month interval, because that's when you get the optimal response. So if you remember, there was the Pfizer was administered sequentially to the old individuals, started with 60 plus and then 50 plus and so on. So, the 60 pluses will be eligible, beginning of next year, and then a little bit later, the 50 pluses and so on. So it'll kind of work out anyway in a sequential way according to age.
I think it's incredible that so much data is coming out of South Africa. We tend not to give the credit where the credit is due, and we have incredible scientists in South Africa that have come together across the board. I don't think they get given enough credit in respect of what they're doing. To what do you attribute the fact that we have such a active scientific community in South Africa, and we haven't fortunately lost these individuals to what we refer to as a brain drain?
Yeah, that's a good question, Chad. I think that the main reason is that a lot of this, the scientific expertise has really come from the HIV research, because many of the people that are now involved in I think the basic virology, in other words, doing the genomic surveillance, for example, identifying these variants so early and so quickly and so effectively, I think all that, that kind of brain power has come from HIV. You know, we've got the largest HIV population in the world, and it's not surprising that a lot of the medical research in the country has been devoted to HIV. And many of the people who are involved now in the COVID research are people that were involved, heavily involved in the HIV research. And a lot of the kind of infrastructure was built up for HIV research. So it's, I think it was, in a way, a natural consequence of that, that we've got the, I guess, world leaders, and I think we are world leaders in terms of COVID research, certainly in terms of genomic surveillance. You know, we've got this network of 7 laboratories around the country, and they do very extensive, very penetrative surveillance, a large percentage, I think more than just about anywhere in the world, of our isolates do get subject to genomic surveillance. That's the one thing. Then we've got other expertise, which is also derived from previous studies. For example, the wastewater surveillance. You know, this is also one of the sensitive ways in which we can predict how extensive the epidemic is by surveying wastewater. And that comes from the polio surveillance. The polio resources have now been kind of, funneled into, COVID research. So I think all of this is kind of, all of this shows how the previous virology expertise has kind of laid the foundation for COVID research.
Well, Professor Barry Shoup, for you and your colleagues, we are always indebted and extremely appreciative. Enjoy your public holiday. I hope you're not going to be working too hard today.
Thank you, Chad. Thanks very much for having me.